أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. The last principle which Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam in Al-Misbah al-Sharia talks about in relation to God is ash-shawq ilayh, longing for God, a sense which should be in the heart of every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before delving into this and the traditions which are mentioned about it, I have to mention a very important fact. You know that we are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has created us. So there is a dependence. And both the person which is dependent on someone and the one on whom they depend would develop a long sense of relationship. Dependence, especially if it is accompanied by care from some one side and by need from the other side, would always bring this connection. Naturally, God has created us, and therefore He has strong longing. He has a strong love and affection for us, for every one of us, every individual. Sometimes we think that we are just copycats of each other. Allah has just created man, multiplied them as copies. We are not. Every one of us in this world has a function. Every one of us has a mission to complete. Otherwise, God would not have created us. We are not copies of each other. And inshallah, when we will go to paradise, we will see that every one of us have a special place there that cannot be filled with anyone else. And it is because of this unique creation of every human being. Not every human being, even every animal have their unique creation. It's because of that Allah loves every single individual of His creation. And therefore, there is always a longing from the other side. Always a longing from the other side. Why Allah is calling us all the time, come back to me. Come close to me. Come near. If He doesn't like us, if He doesn't love us, why should He call us? As it's mentioned in the Quran, قُلْ لَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْ لَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. You know why I'm bothering you all the time? Why I'm sending messengers to you all the time? Why I'm asking you to do things all the time? It's because I want to call you back. Now that call which Allah is generalizing to everyone is because He loves everyone. Why should He send the best of His creation, the most respected of His people, the most beloved of His servants? Why should He send them to people who are vile, disrespectful, ungrateful, to kill them, to torture them, and still after that, He sends another one. After that, He sends another one. Why? Because of that longing which is there. There is always a longing from the other side. The problem is that our longing from this side is lacking. Although we are in need, although we are dependent, and He is the one on whom we depend, although we need to be sustained, and He is the one who sustains us, although we need to be looked after, and He is the one who looks after us, still we want to run away from Him, turn away from Him. There's no longing there in our hearts. There's a longing here. Okay. What's the reason? Why there is no longing from this side, which is full of need, and longing from that side, which is absolutely needless? As Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam mentions in the dua that we recite in these nights, "Anta tad'uni fa'awalli ank." You call me, I turn back, I turn away. "Watatahabbabu ilayya wa atabaghadu ilayk." You show love to me, I show hate to you, disrespect to you. "Ka'anna liyatatawulu alayk." It is as if I am sustaining you, and you are the one who's depending on me. This is how our relation is. Why is that so? The reason is, first of all, ignorance, negligence. We neglect our position. We are ignorant of our situation. Look at this verse. "Inna أَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا." We offered the amana, the trust, whatever that trust is, it will be clarified now. We offered the trust to the mountains, to the heavens, to the earth. They did not accept it. They were terrified of it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Insan took the trust, human being. Human being take this trust. This trust was this going towards God with free choice, willingly. That is what God wants from us. That is why He has given us this free choice. And then at the end says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. He is most oppressive, most ignorant. This kana usually is used for the past tense. And some commentators of the Quran say that man was oppressive and ignorant to accept that trust. No, that's not the meaning. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا means إِنَّهُ يَكُونُ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Man is oppressive upon himself, ignorant of his situation, doesn't know what position he has with God, what degree of perfection, completion can he attain, does not know it. That's why our longing for Allah does not commensurate with His longing for us. How can we increase this longing in us? You know, because we long for other things, because we are always thinking about other things, we leave no room in our heart for Allah. Isa alayhi salam said, "You man, human being, you have one capital. That is the love which you have in your heart. And you can spend it on whatever you wish, on this dunya, on wealth of dunya, on position, on whatever you like. You can do it. However, there's some one other thing that you can spend this love on it, and that's God. These are fleeting, these are passing soon. God is going to stay, And that love is going to stay with you. So be careful, do not sell your capital less than what it is worth. If we want to get that longing for Allah, the path is only and only what the Prophet has taught us to do. Do not go to shuyukh and other people and say, what should I do to get longing for Allah, love for Allah? No, no one can tell you anything more than what the Prophet has said. If the shuyukh tell you what the Prophet has said, follow them. If they improvise from themselves techniques and such things, do not follow them. Because if these techniques were good, the Prophet would have taught us, the A'imma alayhi wa sallam would have taught us these techniques. Now, what did Prophet teach us to get that longing for Allah? Well, one of them is very clear, fasting. You fast. You see, your heart becomes soft. You feel more inclined towards your worship, more inclined towards spiritual than physical. This is one way. The other one is dhikrullah, remembering Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember God abundantly, profusely. Is he in need of our remembrance? No. By remembering him, we gradually bring his ma'rifah in our heart, and gradually as the ma'rifah increases, our longing for him increases. We become more and more in longing of him. Now, this mutual relationship, I mentioned this introduction to explain this hadith, which is talking about the mutual relationship of longing between God and his people. The Quran talks about the concept that is meeting with God. I will talk about it later. Let me go to this hadith now. Tala shawqul abrar ila liqa'i. The abrar, for long time, they longing for me has lasted. They wish to come to me. Can you imagine the moment you meet your Lord? Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine the moment you want to whisper with him directly and he wants to whisper to you directly? We are always terrified of this moment. Why? Because we are terrified of our actions. Because we are terrified of ourselves. If ourselves are not terrifying, why should we be terrified of God? Now, that moment which we are going to meet him, it says, Tala shawqul abrar ila liqa'i. The abrar, the people who are good, their longing for me has lasted for a long time. وَأَنَا إِلَىٰ لِقَائِهِمْ أَشَدُّ شَوْغًا. But my longing to meet them is more. What's the meaning of meeting God? This is a concept that Quran mentions frequently. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. Those who deny meeting with God are losers. Because eventually they are going to meet him. And when they meet him, while they have denied it, they are losers. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ. You should know that you will meet your Lord. It's not meeting death. It's not meeting angels. The very Lord himself. The very Allah himself. Every individual, mu'min and kafir, in our journey towards God, we are going to meet him. Ya ayyuha al-insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. You are traveling with labor towards your Lord, and you will meet him one day. We are going stage after stage, plane after plane, creation after creation, to come to that point that we get the capacity to meet him. And that meeting is not in eyes. That meeting is by the heart. We don't know what that means, of course, because it's not possible for us to imagine that. When we come to that world, we would realize what's the meaning of that meeting. It's just like if you want to describe colors for an unborn baby. You cannot do it. If you want to describe taste of an ice cream, for example, for an unborn baby, you cannot do it. It's not possible. They don't have the concept yet. We don't have the concept of that world yet to know what's the meaning of liqa Allah, meeting the Lord. Certainly that meeting would not be a physical meeting. As I mentioned, I emphasize it because some literalists have taken it to be literal, meeting physically. However, in that meeting, look what Imam Zainul Abidin says in Dua Abu Hamza. Inshallah, we get the tawfiq to recite this Dua Abu Hamza these nights. Habbab ilayya liqa'ak. Make your meeting lovable for me. Make me love to meet you. Now, the next sentence is more interesting. Wa ahbab liqa'i. And you also love to meet me. Who am I that you would love to meet me? I am one of your creatures among many, many billions of human beings that you have created. But you know, the relationship of Allah with every individual is as if he is or she is their only creation. As if Allah has only created me, and I have that sort of very private personal relationship with him, and his attention is as if I am his only creature. With every one of us. حَبَّبْ إِلَيَّ لِقَاءَكَ وَأَحْبَبْ لِقَائِي. Make your meeting lovable for me. Make me love it, and you love to meet me as well. Why should Allah love to meet us? Who are we? Now, you cannot imagine how affectionate God is. How he loves strongly whoever turns to him. We cannot imagine that. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ وَدُودٌ. Wadood is someone who loves anyone. You see, if a person is wadood, if I just pass in the street and someone tells me salam alaikum, I suddenly love him. This is wadood. If I befriend with someone, I suddenly love them. This is wadood. And Allah mentions in the Quran that he is wadood. He loves. He loves very much. However, there's one thing. He hates evil. He loves every human individual. He hates evil. He hates dirt. He hates uncleanliness. And therefore, when we pollute ourselves with uncleanliness, ungratefulness, rejecting anything which is good, then he hates those acts in us. And therefore, he hates us. It's just like if you love someone, you like someone, and then they do utmost evil that you dislike, then you gradually start to not like them. You say, I don't like you anymore. Not because of you, but because what you do. And this is the position which we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of us is loved by him. Why does he open the doors of rahmah in the month of Ramadan? Because he wants us to go back. You have heard this hadith. On the first night of Ramadan, Allah will forgive thousands and thousands, millions of people. On the second night of Ramadan, Allah would forgive double that. On the third night of Ramadan, Allah will forgive double of that double. Until it comes to the end of Ramadan. Then at that night, Allah will forgive as much as whoever he has forgiven during the month. Why does he do this? Why does he forgive? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to go back. It is as if he is in need of us. Look how ungrateful we are. Sometimes we just want to cry. Ya Allah, what are we doing with you? It's just as you are in need of us, always calling us, always showing love to us. This is the shawq. Awhallahu ila Dawood. Allah revealed to Dawood alayhi salam. Law ya'lamu al-mudbirun anni, those who turn away from me, if they knew, kayfa intidari lahum, how am I impatiently waiting for them to come back? If your child runs away from house, how impatiently you wait for them to come back. To come back in good position, not in bad position. How do you love that? If those who turn away from me, if they knew, if these people who are indulging themselves in all sorts of sins, if they knew how God is impatiently waiting for them to go back, وَرَفْقِي بِهِمْ, and how soft I will be with them when they come, وَشَوْقِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ مَعَاسِهِمْ, how eager I am for them to leave the evil. As I said, Allah hates evil. That's why he cannot love someone who is indulging themselves in evil. So, and if the وَشَوْقِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ مَعَاسِهِمْ, how eager I am that they leave their sins, their evil, لَمَاتُوا شَوْقًا إِلَيَّ, their longing and eagerness for me would have been as such that they would have died, they would have passed away. We don't know. The whole point is that we don't know. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ أَوْصَالُهُمْ عَمْ مَحَبَّتِي, and their joints would have been dismembered out of my love. They would have loved me. Inshallah, when we go to paradise, the highest pleasure there is this mutual love between you and God. The highest pleasure. وَرَضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, you know that he's pleased with you. You are filled with contentment. Leave all those things that Allah is going to give you. Just because your heart is dependent on him. You know that he loves you and he's pleased with you. And you are absolutely pleased. رَضِيَ anhum wa وَرَضْوَانٌ, God is pleased with them. They are pleased with God. Just imagine such a relationship. Just imagine. And then some people say, we get bored in paradise. Wow. Impossible. If you have such a relationship, it's impossible that you get bored of someone who you love. وَبَشِّرَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, give good news to those who believe and do good things. They sit in a place beside their Lord that Allah approves of whatever they are, whatever they do. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ, when you sit beside the powerful king, and that powerful king approves of whatever you are. And should I continue? I mean, these are the verses of the Quran. So, one thing in our relation with God that we have to discipline is that we have to increase this longing to meet God, to see him. As soon as death is mentioned, as soon as barzakh is mentioned, as soon as grave is mentioned, as soon as judgment is mentioned, we are terrified. Why? Why are we terrified? This is our journey towards God. This is how he has actually planned this journey. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة. He created death and life. ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. To see who is better, to reward them more. Okay, enough of this. The prophet used to pray, اللهم إني أسألك الرضا بعد القضاء. I ask you contentment after you decree something. والبرد العيش بعد الموت, and the pleasure of life after death. The pleasure of life after death is much more than the pleasure of life in this world. This world is a shadow of life, it's not life. وشوقا إلى لقائك, and a longing to meet you. Longing to come to the appointment. And that meeting, for مؤمنون, that meeting is a turning point in their journeys, in their life, because it's only after that meeting that they go to paradise. And for kuffar, for those who reject God, that's a turning point as well, because it's after that meeting that they go to hell. Now we have to choose. If you have that longing of God in your heart, what Allah will do to your heart, the first thing is that He places a light by which you see things that other people cannot see. Well, we say Allah places this light in your heart, but actually that longing brings the light, brings that light in your heart. Inna li ibadan, this is another hadith, I have servants. يحبونني وأحبهم. They love me, I love them. Love is mutual. ويشتاقون إلي وأشتاق إليهم. They long for me, I long for them. يذكرونني أذكرهم. They remember me, I remember them. As we have in hadith, يا ابن آدم, oh son of Adam, remember me in public. I remember you in public. That means I elevate you. Remember you in private. I remember you in private. I elevate you in my own eyes. This mutuality is always very important. We have this hadith. If you want to know what is the position, your position in the eyes of God, it's always no to God. Good to know. Or sometimes it's bad to know, isn't it? If you want to know what is your position before God, see what is the position and place of God in your eyes. The more you respect Him, the more He respects you. The more you love Him, the more He loves you. So, يَذْكُرُونَنِي وَأَذْكُرُهُمْ وَأَوَّلُ مَا أُعْطِيهِمْ أَنْ أَقْذَفَ مِنْ نُورِ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. The first thing I do with them, I put from my light in their hearts. The heart becomes illuminated. And the heart, by heart we mean the soul. The soul becomes illuminated. You see things in different lights. Imagine you enter a dark room, you cannot see anything. Suddenly the light is switched off. How different things would be? You can distinguish things. Our heart is like that. Our soul is like that. If it's in darkness, cannot distinguish anything. If that light which Allah says comes to the heart, then of course we can distinguish between good and bad, between right and wrong. And what else they do? فَيُخْبِرُونَ عَنِّي كَمَا أُخْبِرُ عَنْهُمْ. They talk about me always. They bring my remembrance and my news to other people. They talk about me with love. And you know what I do with them? I talk about them as well. I talk about them in Mala'ul A'la, with the angels. Everyone know this man, know this servant of mine. يُخْبِرُونَ عَنِّي وَأُخْبِرُ عَنْهُمْ. And I will turn with my full face towards them. Inshallah, Allah will give us the tawfiq to be able to bring this longing into our hearts. Okay, these seven that I mentioned are usulu mu'amalatillah, the principles of conduct with Allah, dealing with Allah. Then the Imam turns to usulu mu'amalatin nafs, the way we have to deal with our own selves. You know, ourselves needs disciplining. We shouldn't always give to ourselves whatever we like, whatever we wish. We always say that in the modern society, the new norm, the new value is that have the utmost pleasure, utmost fun. Give yourself whatever you wish. Act as you please. Well, this is just like leaving an untamed, a wild animal to roam around a very beautiful garden, destroying everything. And this is how our soul is. So these seven principles that Imam mentions here are to discipline our soul. Very important. The seven that the Imam alayhi salam mentioned, as is attributed to him in the book, the seven that the Imam mentioned alayhi salam previously was the attitude of our heart towards Allah. Here he says how you have to discipline your soul, yourself. وأصول معاملة النفس سبعة الخوف. First of all, you always have to fear that your soul, yourself, your lower self may be deceiving you, seducing you into wrongdoing. So we always, when we are dealing with ourselves, we always have to be fearful of ourselves. The first thing the Imam alayhi salam mentions here is fear. Fear yourself. We have to be terrified of ourselves, not anything else. Anything happening in this world, it's not in our hands. Nothing we can do about it. Of course, we can try to make things better, but 7 billion people are interacting with each other. One man, what can one man do? As much as we are one of the 7 billion people, yes, we try. However, with our own selves, we are one to one. One against one. So we shouldn't, if we can discipline our soul, we shouldn't fear anything in this world. No matter, death comes to us, poverty comes to us, wealth comes to us, we are not afraid. Because that is not in our control. Allah will then decide about everything. But what Allah has given control over it to us is our own self. So the first thing is khawf, fear. This is not fear of God. This is fear of your own self, the lower self. وَمَا أُبَرَّأُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This self which we have to be afraid of is this النَّفْسُ الْأَمَّارَةِ بِالسُّوءِ, the lower self which always commands to evil. It's like that. It commands to greed, to jealousy, to self-admiration, to arrogance, to plundering whatever other people have, to bloodshed. This is the lower self. We have to be afraid of it. One very interesting thing that, you know, this an-nafs al-ammarah bis-su is mentioned only once in the Quran. That's in the story of Yusuf. I mentioned this and then we leave the rest for tomorrow night, inshallah. Yusuf alayhi salam, you know that he was absolutely innocent, absolutely innocent. He was jailed because of his purity. We know that. They not only accused him, They put him in jail. They robbed him of whatever he had. They also wanted to keep him in prison until he dies. Well, God, of course, had planned differently. When the king had that dream and they sent to Yusuf to interpret that dream, that I saw seven thin cows and seven fat cows, they were eating, the fat were eating the thin ones. And when Yusuf gave the interpretation that no one could give, no interpreter of dream could give, the king said, go and bring him to me. What is this man? How can he do this? When the messenger came, Yusuf told him, go to the king and ask him, I'm not coming with you. Just go to the king and ask him about the story of those women who, when they were peeling fruits, when I entered into their party, they cut their hands. Ask these ladies about me. Now, the king, of course, now was very curious. This was not the old king, this was the new king. He didn't know the story of Yusuf at all. So he summoned those ladies. And he told to them, what was the story of Yusuf and you? What was the story of cutting your hands? قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. He was pure. We were trying to seduce him. Not only Zuleika, others. We were trying to seduce him. He was pure. And then Zuleika at that time said, قَالَ الْآنَ حَسْحَسَ الْحَقِّ. Now the haq is revealed. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I tried to seduce him, and he was upright. Now, Yusuf, of course, the king says, bring Yusuf to me now. Yusuf now comes. Yusuf says, I didn't want to mention this to shame these ladies. I didn't want to shame Zuleika, let alone whatever she has done to me. I didn't want to do it. I just wanted for the king to know, and especially for the husband of Zuleika to know, that I did not betray him. However, I do not absolve myself. وَمَا أُبَرُّ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Even my lower self may command me to do evil. I am not absolving myself. This is absolute humbleness. Inshallah, Allah will give us the type of heart similar to the heart of his close servants. در باب معامله نفس، امام علیه السلام در مصباح الشریعه ازشون نقل شده که فرمودند اصول معاملت نفس سبعتون، هفت چیزه. چجور ما باید با نفس خودمون معامله بکنیم، مدارا بکنیم؟ الخوف، اول ترس. اولین چیزی که باید داشته باشیم از خودمون بترسیم. از مردم نباید بترسیم. گناهان مردم به پای ما نوشته نمیشه. از خودمون. ببینید، گناه تنها کسی که به پای ما نوشته خواهد شد در روز قیامت گناه خودمونه. پس از خودمون باید بترسیم. اول ترس. دوم جهد، تلاش. نباید، نفس انسان تنبله، ذاتاً ما تنبلیم، میل به تنبلی داریم، دوست نداریم خودمون رو تربیت بکنیم، زود ولو میشیم، حالا در هر زمینه ای، حالا افطار میخوریم ولو میشیم، یا اینکه اصلا کلا در زندگی زود ولو میشیم. تنبلی جز ذات ماست. این جهد انسان باید مراقب باشه، تنبلی رو باید کنار بذاره. اگر میخواییم به مقامات معنوی برسیم، همونطور که در مقامات دنیایی باید تنبلی رو کنار بگذاریم تا به مال و ثروت و مقام و اینا برسیم، تلاش بکنیم، دانشگاه بریم، درس بخونیم، برای مقامات معنوی هم باید تلاش بکنیم.
پس دوم جهد،
سوم حمل الاذى، این که ناملایمات رو، ناراحتی ها و ناگواری ها رو بتونیم تحمل بکنیم در راه تکامل نفس. و ریاضه، ریاضه یعنی چی؟ میگن ریاضت کشیدن، از این ریاضت کشیدن به معنی اون ریاضت های عرفانی نیست که بعضی ها داشتن، این که خودمون رو تربیت بکنیم، مراقب خودمون باشیم. صبح که از خواب پا میشیم مراقب باشیم در طول روز چه کار میخوایم بکنیم، شب که میخوایم بخوابیم یه مرور بکنیم کارهای روزمونو چه کار کردیم. از این رمضان تا رمضان قبل، از رمضان قبل تا این رمضان چه کار کردیم، مرور بکنیم کارهای خودمونو، بعد سعی کنیم خودمون رو تربیت بکنیم. دیگه چی؟ طلب و صدق. انسان دنبال صداقت باشه، نه دنبال تقلید. خیلی وقتا ما کارامون، عبادتامون، حتی کارهای خیرمون تقلیدیه، صداقت درش نیست، راستی درش نیست. بعضی ها که به مقامات بالای معنوی میرسن، این علتش اینه که قلبشون برای اون چی که میگن و انجام میدن صادقه. اگر انسان خب خیلی در این مقام پیش بره، میشه صدیق یا صدیقه. صدیقین و صدیقات، اینا مقامات بالا دارن. میدانید مقام ائمه ما، اگر کسی از شما شیعیان پرسید، شما میگید ائمه شما علم غیب دارن، پیغمبر هم نیستن، پس چی هن؟ اگه پیغمبر نیستن، علم غیب از کجا آوردن؟ بله ما معتقدیم ائمه علم غیب دارن، پیغمبر هم معتقدیم نیستن، با ملائک هم معتقدیم در ارتباط بودن، خب پس اینا چی هن؟ صدیق هن. صدیق کسی که در همه اعمالش صدق داره، این البته با عالم بالا مرتبط میشه. در قرآن داستان مریم صدیقه رو خداوند ذکر کرده، یک نفر رو در قرآن به عنوان صدیقه خدا نام برده که تصریح کرده که مریمه. یک صدیقه هم ما در امت اسلام داریم که تصریح شده درباره صدیقیتش، فاطمه زهرا سلام الله علیها است. خب این مریم صدیقه، خود خداوند تو قرآن میگه ملائکه بهش نازل شدن، بهش وحی کردن، ملائکه باهاش حرف زدن. پیغمبر که نبود دیگه، مریم که پیغمبر نبود قطعا. پس معلوم میشه بین مردم عادی و بین پیغمبران یک مقامی هست به نام مقام صدیقیت. این مقام ائمه ماست و اون وقتی است که همه وجود انسان به اون چه که میگه درباره خدا، اون چه که عمل میکنه، با صدق عمل بکنه. هر چه ما نزدیکتر بشیم، البته مقامات معنویمون بالاتر میره. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد قسمت میدهیم که ما رو از اهل صدق قرار بدهی. به حق محمد و آل محمد قسمت میدهیم که مشکلات امت اسلام رو برطرف بفرمایی. امر فرج ولی عصر نزدیک بگردان، ما رو از یاران آن حضرت قرار بده. حاجات جمع حاضر برآورده به خیر بفرما، امواتشون ببخش و بیامرز، مریضانشان شفا عنایت بفرما. و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین.